You are listening to The Recovered Therapist, brought to you by FreshOutOfPlans.com. I'm Jeannie Griffin, and I'll be your host. Instead of focusing on labels, diagnoses, and psychobabble, we keep things honest, simple, and hopeful so that you can grow personally and spiritually. Thank you for joining me. Nobody should be allowed to have a child until you're age 85. Yeah, you heard me. I said nobody should be allowed to have a child till you're 85. Maybe by then we will have worked out all of our own issues that we don't leave a whole bunch of scars on these poor children. But the Creator never asked me about that, so I didn't get to play God, and so here we are in this mess where we keep passing hurts from generation to generation to generation. Period. You know, if you are a parent, or if you ever think you might want to be a parent, and you suffer from this delusion that you will do a much better job and you will not leave scars on your children and blah, 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 I'm here to tell you that's not possible. We all do. Some are worse than others, yes, and there's no excuse for some of the hideous things that have happened to children. But remember that the hurt, the painful wounds from childhood are in the eye of the beholder, not in the eye of the observer. So I want to bring up a couple of examples. Sometimes we have no clue how we affect other people. We think we know ourselves. We think we know how we act in relationship, but you don't know the journey that other person has had. So you don't know whether you remind them of somebody in their family, somebody they've met, somebody they don't like, somebody they do like. We have no way of knowing it most of the time, even with some of our best friends. So I want to give you two examples. I was buying groceries one day with my daughter when she was, I don't know, 5 or 6. And I was going through a list of, okay, what else do we need for Thanksgiving dinner? And I was going through it, and then she said, we need crescent rolls. And I thought, well, that's odd. I haven't fixed crescent rolls probably but maybe 6 times in my life. So I said, we do. What do we need crescent rolls for? She said, we need crescent rolls. It's a tradition. And you could have surprised me. I thought, you're only 6. You've been here 6 years, and yet this is a tradition in your mind, and I can't remember the last time that I fixed crescent rolls. And she was very insistent. She was so excited. And then I remembered, oh yeah, last year when I was going through the motions at Thanksgiving because I had so many things weighing on me, that I allowed her to be able to roll up the crescent rolls. And in her mind, she got to participate, and that's what children do. And so we trotted off to the refrigeration section and bought some crescent rolls. And I've not seen a crescent roll since that I don't remember that. I thought to myself at the time, wow, this has really been imprinted on this child. When did I do that? When did that occur, that this pleasant memory got absolutely impacted and printed on her brain? And then it got me wondering. I thought, good grief, if I was party to this positive influence on this kid, what else have I done that might not have been negative? Well, no, what else would I have done that would have been? That got me to thinking, what else have I done that imprinted this child with something negative? And I had no clue I was doing it. That's when I realized the power that parents have. And every single one of us says, I'm not going to do that like she did. And I'm not going to do that like he did. But nonetheless, here we are. Then the other day, I was with my granddaughter. And she's a hoot, let me tell you. I was laughing with my daughter because at some point, my daughter does a beautiful job. She has 3 children, full-time job, husband, and I had 1 child. There's no way I'd have been able to cope with all 3 of these, and her first 2 were twins. So this woman really has my admiration. So one day, my granddaughter says, my mommy lost my fork. And I said, she did? She said, yes. She lost my little fork. Now, these are those little toddler fork things that you can get at, you know, Target or on Amazon for nothing and get a million of them. But this child remembers that at some point there was a fork and then there wasn't. And she started telling the story when she was about three. She's now almost four. And there's not a meal that goes by that she doesn't tell me, my mama lost my fork. And my daughter and I just laugh and laugh. And I said, good Lord, you're never going to live this down. I don't care how many more forks. And I bought her a million forks, and so is her mother. But in her mind, this is when life betrayed her. Now, that's a funny example of something that was perplexing, if nothing else, to this child. Now, it doesn't line up there with some of the terrible trauma that some children have had to experience. But in her mind, it was the first time, or maybe a time that she was able to articulate that the world wasn't safe. That here was somebody that she trusted that betrayed her, and somehow in the midst of all this confusion of coming and going in children, her mother did a fabulous job on many things, but she still lost the fork. Now, one of those is, here's a fabulous impression that I've left on a kid that was positive, and here's one that, you know, inadvertently you lost the damn fork. Probably the garbage disposal ate it, or, you know, who knows what happened to it. It got lost on a picnic, but the picnic doesn't get remembered. It's just the lost fork. Point is, if you're beating yourself up for something you are being accused of, take an inventory and see if you could have done better, yes. But stop beating yourself up for something that happened in the past. You cannot refashion history. So even if it was something very hurtful and wounded your child a great deal, the best that you can do is to get real honest with yourself and take inventory, and then vow not to do whatever that was anymore. The best living amends is to stop doing the behavior. So if you're always messing around in your child's life and telling them how many squares of toilet paper to use and when to brush their teeth, first of all, stop it. And then secondly, you can't make up for having done that in the past, but what you can say is, you know what? Today, I choose not to be so invasive. Today, I choose not to invade your life and your privacy. And I'm a work in progress. Some days I do it beautifully. Other days I have to bite my tongue. And other days I fail at it miserably and I still try to tell you what to do. But I want you to know that I realize that is not helpful and I'm willing to change. Now that's all you can do. If your child keeps coming to you and wanting to bring up all your transgressions, you listen one time. You admit your faults. You take measures and take steps to change your behavior. But after that, they get to go find a therapist, find a sponsor, find a friend, find a clergyman, somebody else to tell it to. If it still bothers them from the past, then they need to deal with it with somebody who can help them. But they don't get to keep throwing it back up into your face. They get to do that one time and one time only. I hope this has helped. Thank you for listening to The Recovered Therapist, where we keep topics honest, simple, and hopeful. I love you. There's not a damn thing you can do about it. Until next time.